The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Let's begin. It was already paid off, so I was saving a considerable amount of money by moving in. My goal was to hopefully save up for a few years and get back on my feet. Then sell it and buy the house that I wanted. Once my lease was up at the apartment, I moved across town to the house. It was part of a community of farmland owners, but in the recent years, most of that land had stopped being used for farming and was left as just empty fields. That's what happened with my mom's land as well. It was pretty much just an old barn-style home in the middle of a huge field with only a small overgrown path leading to it. In the first week living there, I spent most of my time cleaning and getting all of my stuff where I wanted it. During one of these nights, while I was cleaning, I heard a car coming toward the house. I looked out the window and saw an old pickup truck driving down the overgrown path. It was very strange, being that the only reason for them driving here would be if they were coming to the house. But just as they approached the end of the path, they slowed to a stop. I could make out a male figure in the driver's seat, but couldn't make out any specifics. They stayed there for a moment, with their headlights shining over the field, before they did a three-point turn and drove away. I thought they probably just typed in the wrong address or something, but it was kind of creepy to see someone coming all the way out here so late in the night. A few days went by, and by then I'd finished getting the house cleaned up and organized. It was a Sunday night, and I was staying up late watching TV and eating a home-cooked meal when a familiar sound came up in the distance. A car driving toward the house. I looked out the window again and saw that same pickup truck coming down the path, this time with all its headlights off. Knowing it couldn't possibly be an accident this time, I was more worried. I quickly looked at my phone and saw it was nearly 1 a.m. So why would anyone be coming here? The truck came all the way to the front of the house and parked. Then a man got out and started walking up to the porch. I waited anxiously, but after a minute, there was no doorbell or knocking. I cautiously went up to the front door and looked out the peephole. A man was standing right on the porch looking directly at the door. I was terrified, as he looked like he was contemplating something. Then he turned around and went back to his truck, getting in and hurrying away. I was really creeped out, so I called the police and reported it, but there was nothing else to be done. I went to bed that night with a really bad feeling about everything. Apparently, I was right, because I woke up to what I thought was the sound of a knock at the door. It was just a single knock. I got up right away and looked out the window, but the truck that I thought I'd see wasn't anywhere outside the house. I quietly left my bedroom to try and go downstairs and see who it was, but just as I reached the top of the steps, I could see that the front door was slightly open. I froze, and moments later, I heard footsteps walking through the hallway below me. I quickly hid in the spare bedroom that was next to me and dialed 911 as the footsteps grew louder and started coming up the stairs. They went straight into the main bedroom, and I could hear them moving stuff around, like they were looking for something. I was too scared to speak to the officer on the phone, worried the intruder would hear me, so I just sat there silently. They spent a few minutes going through the bedroom before leaving and going back downstairs and finally exiting the house. I started talking to the officer as I ran up to the back window to see if I could identify them before they got away. It was dark, but I could see that it was the same man who was on my porch earlier. He was walking in the backyard toward the field of tall grass, eventually disappearing in it. Police came by and tried to find any evidence to help with the case, but my description of the man was about all there was that was helpful. I don't know what that man wanted, but he seemed to be looking for something specific. It makes me think maybe he knew of something my mother had, and after hearing of her passing, he wanted to steal it. But once I realized he had to have known I was home and probably in the bedroom, it terrified me to think about how he still went in and looked around. What was he planning to do to me if I was still in there? I ended up selling the house a month later because I was too scared of him coming back. I still check every few months to see if there were any reports of recent break-ins at that address, but it's been quiet ever since that night.
Let's begin.
I was really happy with my wife for more than 10 years, and we lived in New York all that time. But before that, we first met at a work meeting, and after a few months, we started going out. We both worked for the same company that sells and advertises things, but in different parts of the company and different offices. After a year of dating, we moved in together. Then, a year later, we both got better jobs and earned more money. Because of this, we were able to buy a house and start paying for a mortgage just 6 months later. Another year passed, and then we decided to get married. 4 years later, we moved house and bought a bigger property with a pool and large yard. We both agreed from the start of our relationship that we didn't want children and that we both wanted to concentrate on our careers. So in our minds, having kids would have affected those plans significantly. We both enjoyed our jet-set lifestyle of flying off to different countries for work and also holidays. We made sure to have at least 2 vacations in foreign places every year. Overall, we had a good life. But one day, when I was in Florida for work, promoting stuff for a big company, something happened that changed my life a lot. I'd been at the convention for 2 days. There was food included at the lunchtime intervals. And everything seemed to be going well until some of the delegates of the third day started becoming unwell. And also, the main speakers had been affected. At the end of the third day, the convention center manager made an announcement. He said that the convention was going to have to be canceled as there seemed to be a sickness bug circulating through the delegates and speakers. So, for the benefit of all the concerned, it has been decided to close the center. The government control has been advised of the situation and closure. Sample taking, and then the center deep clean, will be carried out. I immediately left the center after speaking to my team. I told them to go back to the hotel, to take a shower, and change all their clothes, and put the dirty clothes in bags and wash on a hot wash. Then when they got home, I told them to try and minimize any contamination, and that they should just isolate. Luckily, it seemed that none of my team had been infected, but I knew delegates who had been, and both had the doctor called because they were so rough. I said to my team to head home on the next available flight. When I got back to my hotel, I showered and bagged my clothes and got changed. I then tried ringing my wife, but it went to voicemail right away. I called her office, and her assistant picked up. She said that Rachel had taken this week off as a holiday. Strange, I thought. She never mentioned to me when I set off for this convention that she was going on holiday. I decided not to leave a message on her phone and just caught the next flight back, which was the following morning. I picked up the car from the airport parking lot and set off, as there were no delays on the way, so I was home in virtually no time as planned. As I drove up my drive, I saw a black Audi car parked by the front door. On the other side was Rachel's red Jag. I parked alongside and got out and stared at the Audi. From what I could remember, we didn't know anyone with that car. I opened the door and walked inside. There were clothes on the floor, some belonging to Rachel and a man's jacket. I rushed up the stairs to our bedroom and opened the door. Then I saw Rachel in bed with a stranger. She screamed and the guy got out of bed, grabbing his pants and apologizing. But I went to the bed, grabbed him by the neck, and took him to the bedroom door. I threw him out, and he left in his car with screeching tires.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
I looked at Rachel and told her, "Why did you ruin everything like this?" She begged me, but I thought the marriage was done. 3 months later, we got divorced. We sold the house and split the money. I quit my job at the old company because I wanted to leave New York and have nothing to do with Rachel. I used my connections to get a job in Virginia. I bought a smaller house with 3 bedrooms. It had a smaller pool and yard, but the last house was big enough for 2 people. The agent told me the owner wanted to sell quickly, so I made an offer. The seller accepted my first bid, which was great, because I wanted to leave the hotel where I had been living for the last 3 weeks. Then I arranged for my things to be moved from New York, and 6 weeks later, on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m., I got the keys. The moving trucks showed up, and by 3 p.m., they were gone. I sat in Box City in the living room, looking out at the trees in the backyard. At 5 p.m., I had a coffee by the pool. The water was green and needed cleaning, so I knew I had to get someone to do that. But it was a shame, because I wanted to swim that evening. I was tired after the day, so I had a microwave TV dinner and a couple of glasses of red wine. I dozed off on the sofa and woke up, startled out of my rest. I looked around the room, feeling confused, trying to figure out what woke me up. Then I saw the backyard security light had turned on. I got up from the chair and went to the big window. The light brightened up everything, from the lawn to the trees at the back. The pool's water was shining in the lights, but hang on a minute, it was showing a rippling effect, as if someone or something was in there. I stared, but the angle was not right to see better. Maybe an animal has walked into the garden, I thought, and set off the light, and then perhaps fallen in the pool. I decided to go and check. I opened the patio doors and went outside. As I got closer, I saw small puddles of water on the pool's edge. But when I looked into the pool, the water was calm again, just moving a bit in the night breeze. I looked all around, but there was no sign of any animals, but it still didn't explain the puddles by the pool edge. Maybe it got out, I thought. I started to go back inside. I locked up and went upstairs to bed. I don't know how long I had been asleep before my bed started shaking. What the heck? I looked around, but no one was there. I frantically searched the room and turned on the bedside light. Then I heard a splash from the backyard. The pool, I thought. Once more, I jumped out of bed and went to the window. The security light turned on again. This time, from the high view, I could see a small head of someone swimming in my pool. Some neighbor's kid doing it for a truth or dare, I thought. So, I put on my clothes and rushed down the stairs. I opened the doors again and ran across the lawn to the pool. I looked at both ends. The water was choppy, like something had been there, but there was no sign of anyone. Then I noticed the small puddles by the pool edge, but this time they left a puddle track. I followed the wet trail from the pool to the grass at the back of the yard. Then the wet tracks just disappeared. None of this made any sense. I turned to go back to the house when I heard a scratching sound. I turned around but couldn't see where the sound was coming from. It stopped, then started again, louder this time. Suddenly, I realized it was coming from the well at the back of the property. I ran over to the well, but the cover was nailed down. Then the sound came again. This time, I thought I heard a very faint voice saying, "Please." I tried grabbing the wooden cover on top of the well. I tried to move it, but it wouldn't budge. I hurried to the garage, grabbed a crowbar and a flashlight, and came back. The scratching sound was getting more intense. I put the crowbar on one side, pushed down hard, and the wood broke, flying off into two pieces. Then suddenly, a terrible smell hit me when the top came off. I turned away for a moment, and when I looked back, I saw the underneath part of the well cover had hundreds of deep scratches. I got a chill. What happened here? Who or what got down or was stuck here? I turned back to the well and shone my flashlight down. It was really deep, but my light showed what looked like an old teddy bear. I saw some clothes and something white in the water below. As I stood there, I suddenly felt something next to me on my right side. Then a small hand grabbed my left hand, but it was gone in a second before I could react. I shone the flashlight everywhere, but saw nothing. I walked back to the house, feeling confused, and called the cops, telling them I think there might be a body in my well. They sent a team, and by 10 a.m. the next morning, they confirmed there was the remains of a child. They brought it up, and they thought it was the body of a girl, maybe around 11 years old. The police finished looking into things. Then a few days later, they told me the people who owned the house before had been foster parents. They took care of a little girl for 2 years, but she disappeared one night, according to the foster dad. It seemed like she might have been taken, but the police couldn't find her. The foster parents were questioned many times, but they never found any proof, so the case stayed unsolved. However, 4 months after the girl went missing, both parents were found dead in their bedroom from an overdose, but the only evidence they found was the little girl's skull, and it had a crack on the left side. So the cops thought something bad happened with her, and they believed the girl's body was put down the well. Sadly, during her disappearance, the file said the well was sealed, so it wasn't checked. The police officer asked me, "Why did you go to the well in the middle of the night?" I thought for a moment. How could I answer without sounding crazy? So I said, "I don't really know. Let's just say I had this strange feeling something wasn't right about it." He raised his eyebrow and said, "Okay, we'll leave it then." After that, Nothing strange happened at the house, but I left the well open.
Let's begin.
3 years ago, I moved down a few states on the East Coast to a new city. Due to work and money, I couldn't make the trip to see the place before making the move, but I was only renting, so there wasn't too much risk in it. It was mid-September when the movers came and loaded everything up, then dropped it off at the house. The landlord was nice enough to let the movers in for me to unload, because I wasn't actually arriving there until the following week. It was a Monday evening when I finally arrived and saw the house in person for the first time. It was a mess with boxes everywhere and furniture laying all around, but the house itself was all right. The layout was interesting in that it was very separated. It was a single story with the kitchen and living room on one side of the house. Then on the other side was a long hallway with all the bedrooms and bathrooms. Started working on getting the bed put together, then shut off all the lights and went to sleep. I didn't have a clock set up yet, so I don't know what time it was, but in the middle of the night, I woke up to an odd sound. I thought it was a noise the house was making, but I wanted to see what it was and if it was something I needed to let the landlord know about. I got up and walked over to the bedroom door. As I got closer, though, I realized it was coming from somewhere down the hallway. I opened the door, and it stopped almost instantly. The hallway was pitch black, so I flicked on the light, but nothing was there. I slowly walked down and peered into the living room. It looked the same as it had earlier, but I turned on the lights and looked around just to be sure. On the floor, there were a lot of footprints scattered between the boxes that were laying around. I knew it was likely from the movers, and with no other signs of anything, I went back to the bedroom. It took a while for me to fall asleep again, because I kept thinking about how the sound stopped as soon as I opened the door. I tried to come up with any possible way this could be the house making noises, but nothing came to mind. When I drifted back asleep, it felt like I only stayed asleep for a minute before I was woken up by a sudden thump, followed by footsteps running down the hallway. My eyes shot open, and I looked over at my bedroom door. The door was wide open, and on the ground were clear footprints coming right up to my bed. I got up and hurried to see who was there, but by then, they were long gone. All that was left were scuffed prints from them running away. I got my phone and called the police, locking myself in the bathroom until they arrived. When they did, they oddly found no signs of a break-in aside from the footprints. I convinced myself that they must have gained access during the week before I arrived at the house. But something still didn't sit right with me. After unpacking and checking each box, nothing seemed to be missing. It obviously makes me wonder what they were even doing in the house, but the biggest mystery is why did they walk up to my bed, and what was that thump sound that I heard just before they ran away? The landlord was eager to allow me to break the contract and move out so long as I didn't say anything about the break-in publicly. At the time, it sounded like he just didn't want anyone to be scared away from the house so that he wouldn't miss out on his rental income. But now I'm not so sure.
Thank you for being here. When you have so many other options.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.